How long gone? Sunday. It's a beautiful, chilly but sunny afternoon here in New York City after a torrential downpour. Awful day yesterday. Truly felt like hell out there.
Oh, really?
Awful. Yeah. I mean, it was just like nonstop rain all day long. And of course we were out.
We got a little sprinkle here.
We were out in it, of course, just making the most of the day. And it was not, luckily I wore my full Arc'teryx rain outfit. I really leaned in to my rain look, pants, jacket. I had the Solomons on. I was ready for anything that comes at me.
Okay. Did you were ready for anything, including bombing a whole car is what it
yeah,
sounds
yes,
like.
Exactly. Yeah. You already know.
How are you liking those Arc'teryx pants?
I mean, they are the most comfortable pants I own, and I'm glad I sized up in them because they're a little more comfortable, and the belt works really well. I just feel, I don't know when to wear them, kind of, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I wear them, obviously, when it rains. That's goes without saying. But other times, I just don't know what shoe to wear with it. I get confused, but I like them a lot.
Good. I mean, I see that. Yeah, it's kind of like a casual around the house pant, you know, run to the gym, run a couple errands, hit the supermarket. You don't need to have a full look kind of thing. You know, I wouldn't wear them to church.
No, okay. Of course, no. This morning I wore kind of just some kind of stretch chinos to church. I kept it.
Okay.
You know, I it's respect.
Yeah.
It's respect for the congregation and for the Lord of himself.
I was looking at Airmail, our good friends at Airmail, and the lead article from their good morning email that they send at 3 a.m. 21st century missionary style.
Yeah.
Christian influencers from Hailey Bieber to Ballerina Farm are succeeding where missionaries of yore failed.
Do you know
what Ballerina Farm is? Is that a new clothing company from Zach Bia or something?
No, it does sound like a Brandy Melville offshoot, but I don't know. I think I have the trick, Jason, on how this is working for these new style missionaries. It's because they're hot. And I think that is, I don't want to ruin it. You know, please subscribe to Airmail. I don't want to ruin it, but it does seem like Hailey Bieber selling Jesus or selling, you know, lip gloss. If she looking good, that's selling the product. I don't know what else there is to it, really.
Yeah. I guess it's a sales tactic as old as time.
But it is an interesting.
Put your finest virgin on display for sacrifice to get that Venmo hitting a little bit more.
But it is interesting that, I mean, this just goes back to religion being repackaged as something cool that you can get merch at. You know what I mean? So it's not really, it doesn't really, this is just another way to do it. So if it's not through a hundreds collab, you can just kind of wear a negligee and hopefully your followers will find Christ.
Okay. I Googled Ballerina Farms. Ballerina Farm is a woman named Hannah who who has 9 million followers on Instagram.
A girl called Hannah.
A girl called Hannah. I'm a girl called Hannah. So Ballerina Farm is Hannah. And her business, her Instagram, her Meta business tag in the bio is agriculture. Oh. She is married to hog fathering.
Wow.
That's very, very similar to hog dashing from the last episode. Hog fathering is, his name is Daniel, and Hannah is his soulmate, of course. And he's currently building a new dairy and creamery. He only has 460,000 followers.
So hot.
Okay. But yeah, Hannah she's mothering 8 littles. So I guess that means she has a lot of children.
Yeah, well,
Mrs. America 2023.
Oh, so she's bad.
Did you know there was a Mrs. America?
No, I thought it was just Miss, but I guess they got something for everybody now. Did you think
this farmer with 9 million followers wouldn't be hot, Chris?
No, I mean, I knew she would be hot, but like how hot? you know, it's like,
well,
it's,
once after you've mothered your eighth little, after you mothered your eighth little, there's a little tread off the tires.
Honestly, all right, I'm looking at the picture of her with her. I would say there's six littles in this picture. Maybe there's eight. They're just hiding.
Where they at though?
But I do.
You cannot count a goat or a golden retriever as one of your littles, bitch. Okay.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. When you're a mother of eight littles and you use the term littles, that could have been any sort of pet. Like, that could have been any sort of farm animal. I honestly, because of the farm background, I didn't even think children when you said that. I thought some sort of animal.
Oh, you thought a baby goat that was being whored out for yoga or something like that.
No.
Imagine being one of the littles in the avatar photo and you were not in that pic for whatever, you know, sick that day or something, and you're like, bro, come on, we got seven littles in here. She's a Juilliard ballerina, city folk turned rancher, and she ships farm products nationwide.
God could have worse representatives than a spokesmodel who extols the virtues of marriage and faith, even if it's while posing in her underwear. I mean, look, sure. There's also this other model, Nara, who's married to Lucky Blue Smith, who is also a very famous model, and I guess he's a Jesus freak too.
Bullshit. She sells flour on her website. 25 pound bag of flour is $50.
Flour for baking. Okay,
the wait is over.
I'm not an expert on flour prices, but is 50 for 25 high?
I feel like it's high, but this is Ballerina Farm, bro.
Of course.
It's organic and shit. It's milled in Utah. Oh, Utah. There we go. It's starting to come together.
I saw our friend Gabe and his wife Missy, who own Rita's in London. They're on like a southern road trip.
Okay.
Eating, and they went to the, they went and built with Anson Mills. They went to the damn shit. Mill. And I was like, how
I went
was
to
he?
Your mill and nobody knew you.
I asked him how it was. He's like, bro, they were so sick. It was amazing. I was like, damn, who knew the mill could be that much fun for the whole family?
I did. I love our southern foodways.
I always forget. Southern foodways got to protect. I always forget that when people, like food people, go on southern road trips, they really eat at the craziest places. Like, they eat at the craziest, like the mom and pop side of the road, like my grandma made this restaurants where it's weird parts of the animal fried with biscuits.
We're here to find out. We got, apparently, people are saying this is the best pickled pig's foot on this side of the Mississippi, and we're about to dig in, guys.
Stay tuned. But yeah, every time he'll post all these pictures, I'm like, damn, this food looks so fucked up, so twisted. And then I think about that being my culture.
Yeah, you're a hog eater through and through, just like the rest of them. Mm, it's in your blood.
You know I love to gobble hog. I love to gobble hog.
Producer Beep, did we get a clean take of that? I wanted to give a quick shout out to everyone who has signal boosted and subscribed to my pod or my Substack so far. Doing great numbers already, considering I have yet to post something other than announcing that I have a Substack. But it's really lit a fire under my tight little ass.
Well, I want to tell our listeners that I paid full price for an annual subscription up front, and you should do the same, because we're not charging you for this podcast, so you might as well pay us for something. And even though I see nothing from this, it will benefit me in other ways.
It's funny that you said that. I did get a message from somebody who also gave me the Big Daddy subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know, I'm doing this in part to sort of pay you back for years and hours and hundreds of hours of free podcasting from you and Chris. So if you could split this money with Chris, that'd be great.
Okay, well, I mean, look,
that's something that none of us had on our bingo card. A listener of this podcast wanting you to have money.
I mean, look, a little 50 piece never hurt anybody. You know what I mean? That'll cover a couple salads.
Look,
appreciate that.
I will... Frog club on me, brother.
No.
Frog club on me. No bun.
I'm good. I've never, you know, I've said this to you, and I'll say it on record. I'm never stepping foot in that place. That is, it'll be closed before.
Okay, good.
It'll be closed before I need to go.
Good, because I could only get a three top, so that's good. I'm so glad you said it. Woo!
Well, I heard the crowd.
Weight off my shoulders.
I heard the crowd is not, it doesn't seem like the door is as tight as they make it out to be based on the crowd. That's just what I'm hearing.
I'm going to go to New York when I come out there in a couple weeks, and... You know, I'd be remiss to not go kick the tires, right?
Yeah, I mean, you should
go. I mean, I'm asking the wrong person.
No, you should definitely go. I mean, you only go to restaurants you don't like, so why don't you just add this to the pile?
It's not true. That is not true at all. It is only mostly true. I went to a nice meal last night at Matu in Beverly Hills. Shout out to the Matu family over there.
Was that meal nice because it was free, or was it actually good?
It was not free. I have dined there for free before, but that
okay. No, that's fine.
It doesn't happen all the time.
I just wanted to make sure that you were paying for your Wagyu and it wasn't just on the house, because that would cloud your judgment, don't you think?
Chef sent out a couple gifts from the kitchen. Thai beef salad, a little this, a little that. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Didn't kill me with desserts. I think we got the perfect amount of food. I was eating good, and I did not feel like shit afterwards, despite eating like steak and mashed potatoes, you know?
Yeah, sure. We went to Monkey Bar for lunch yesterday.
Monkey Bar for lunch?
It was packed.
Okay, Donald Trump.
And I was really taken aback by the amount of people drinking at lunch. Like, every single person was drinking.
But this was a Saturday.
Yeah.
This is a rosé all day.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. It wasn't rosé all day. It was noon martini. And I'm like, damn, are you going to have, what do you do for the rest of the day? Like, that's like having a beer or whatever, or a glass of champagne is one thing, but having an espresso martini or two at noon, it seems aggressive.
Who are you, Don Draper?
You wouldn't even do that. You would never do that.
No. Unless I was celebrating like a big win, or, you know, on the brink of suicide. I'm not really going to do a lunchtime monkey bar.
I was just like, every table.
Yeah, unless I finally sold that pilot or was considering unaliving myself. Those are the only two.
Unaliving myself. I've told you this before, but you know, on the Joe Budden podcast, when someone dies, they call it transitioning.
I do remember you saying that. trying to find a way to make light of death.
I'm like, every time I hear it, I'm like, you guys are trying too hard. You do not need to use a new word for death. Like,
Are they saying that to troll, though?
No, not at all. They're saying that because they think it's a nicer way to describe death or suicide or whatever.
Yeah. They've moved on to brighter pastures or something.
Yes.
So they don't even know that it's funny to say this person has transitioned to the afterlife.
Well, I think they don't know anyone who's transitioned to anything else. So they don't understand that it's a term that is used.
Other than Budden. Budden knows. Budden has messed around. Come on.
Yeah, he might. But it's just a funny, every time they say it, and they're pretty consistent with it, I'm like, this is such a weird thing to adopt. It was like we were watching the Love is Blind reunion, and the amount of times that they said grace. I'm giving myself grace. I'm giving them grace. God is giving me grace. I mean, 100 times the word grace is uttered in that. And it's just like, which one of you is responsible for this? Because this is clearly a trend among the cast, because no one talks like that, really.
Who said we're going to start saying, so much like our small bubble of media folks saying like things are famously this.
Yes, sure.
They're just like, we're going to start saying grace all the time. Do you think this is Christian coded?
I think it is Christian coded because they're all from Charlotte, so they have to be Christian, I think. But I think it's more I think it's more just like a way to, yeah, I don't know. It's strange the way that, because they all use it, and they all use it a little bit differently, you know. But I guess it's just who they're referring to, whether they're receiving the grace.
There's one guy who's like, yeah, I used to fuck Grace. She was hot as hell. And then other people are like, God grant me the grace to forgive you for Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard, the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Koreatowns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late-night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, take it an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off, that's more than half, at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I am unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
No, it's literally like, yeah, it's either I'm giving grace or I'm receiving grace. You know, and that is, it's all, it is Jesus coded now that you say
that. What happened? Is anybody saying grace? I'm hungry.
No, there's, that's the other thing. There's no
stuff like that.
Yeah, there's no Caesar salads on the table. I mean, it's really something else. But yeah,
I'm over my fat ass is like, so nobody eating on Love is Blind? Oh, hell no. I'm turning this channel.
I couldn't believe it. We both, Alex and I were both laughing about it. But I wanted to talk to you about the big hip hop news. This week,
the works of Young Metro. Metro showed his grace in the booth.
Yeah, he showed his fucking Z's in the booth. But it's the big three, Jason. Which I don't know if you're aware. It's Kung Fu Kenny, Kendrick Lamar, the most earnest man to ever live, Jermaine Cole, and Canada's own Drake. So those are the big three. But big three as coined kind of by Jermaine and Drake.
Okay, so they're saying at the top it's just us, Kendrick,
yes,
Drake, and yeah, J. Cole.
Yes.
Well, did you say the most earnest man in hip hop?
Yeah, he's the worst, but he is extremely popular. He sells tickets. Like, he's fucking big.
He's the Ted Lasso of Rolling Loud.
He don't even get invited to Rolling Loud. That's how earnest he is.
If he was a blood, I would call him Red Lasso.
Ted would smoke a little weed with Playboi Carti. I don't even know if J. Cole would, honestly.
Oh, I'll try it.
I love the idea.
J. Cole said, I smoke, but I don't inhale.
We need to have
my mommy said I couldn't.
We need to see an episode of Ted Lasso where he goes to Rolling Loud. That's really funny. Ted Lasso
from your mouth to God's ears, Chris. I'll handle it.
Ted Lasso at Rolling Loud London, the new edition.
I'm thinking Rolling Loud Dubai. Rolling Loud Dubai. Have you seen this little Uzi Vert? Boy, is he fun.
There's a future Metro Boomin album called We Don't Trust You that came out this week that is, I mean, I think it's pretty bad. I don't know if you've listened to it. It's pretty boring. Nothing really happens. There's a couple of good beats, I guess, but that's about it, I think. I don't know what your take is.
I would say that hip hop albums nowadays, I think we need to treat them more like appointment viewing, and we need to sort of have the set and setting much like a drug experience. You know, Future and Metro will take you on a journey inward. And I think that the set and setting are very important for how you enjoy this album. You don't want to have a bad trip listening to it in your AirPods on the train.
Well,
you need to be in a setting where this music will be allowed to shine and open up. It needs to be decanted and given respect. Yeah. And I don't think that the album is good.
I need to be
per se.
I need to be in the private shopping area at Gallery Department with a glass of Veuve. That's the only way get rocking with this.
Kind of like how the only way I can laugh at SNL is if I'm really high. It's sort of like you need to be in the right mindset. So I went to when it came out. It came out on Thursday at midnight Eastern. So 9 p.m. Thursday night PST. It drops. It's in my Spotify inbox, burning a hole in there. I was invited to
Spotify inbox.
Bling. Friend of the show Mary Kate over at Neiman Marcus Beverly Hills invited me. And I brought a couple friends, Yumi Yeo, Adam Whitman, over to a dinner to celebrate their partnership with NBA's most dressinest player, Kelly Oubre Jr. At Funky.
Okay, was he actually there?
He was there. I was seated at this. There was like a round table, maybe like 20 people or so, and it was just like stylists of people in the basketball world. I mean, like the stylists of like LeBron James's wife and like, you know, like Kevin Hart stylist, you know, big shit. And then my dumbass. And then I was seated next to Kelly Oubre Jr.'s wife and him. And they weren't really picking up what TT was putting down a ton.
You don't say.
Yeah, I went to serve some salad. There, it was family style over at Funke. And the first thing I did was put some salad on my plate, and then I spilled the salad all over my hand calligraphied name tag.
Mm-hmm.
Really set a tone for the night.
I think that's okay.
You try to wipe off the vinaigrette, it only makes it worse.
Those are going to get thrown away anyway. I don't think, unless you take them home and collect them like a pussy. Okay. So
I did not know. I put it in my scrapbook. That's like the version of when you go to like the roadie or the tour manager's house and they open the closet door and there's 700 laminates over the last decades. I just have all my name tags from my fruity little dinner parties that I've been invited to over the years.
This is Collective Soul Fall 2002 Europe. that's funny. That's a good idea for you to keep. I mean, okay, so did you listen to this on the way home from that dinner while you were driving drunk?
So, yes.
Is that where we're going?
So on the way home, I've got six glasses of a kind of a minerally Sicilian white in my thick veins. Okay. belly full of squash blossoms. I mean, that was the fucked up part, because everyone, you know, it's like a family style meal, so everyone is sort of, you know, you don't want to look like a fat ass who's just like shoveling, you know, all this food onto your plate and chowing down, because it's delicious food. It's like really high quality, nice Italian food, but you want to keep presentable.
All right. Calm down. Stay off your knees when you're talking about Funky.
Well, I mean, you know, the Italian food in LA, the competition is, the bar is low. So it's easy for the funk man to soar. Would I prefer the environment to be something different than a Mother Wolf or a Funky? Sure. It's not my...
I love Funky. I just feel like I hear about him more than like the president of the United States. That's all.
But yeah, I was driving on the way home. Yayo's driving top down in the Mercedes B-Class.
Top down in the baby mama SUV. You mean sunroof open?
Top down, metaphorically speaking, of course.
Top
down, spiritually speaking.
Okay. You were spiritually cruising down through Beverly Hills, and you put this on.
And I was spiritually switching lanes on Melrose.
Okay. Okay, sure.
As if I were YG coming out of a parking garage behind the Real Real with two baddies flanking me.
Mm-hmm.
And also YG, remember when YG was cool? Now he dresses like a fucking gay magician. What's going on with YG? I shouldn't say that. He'll literally kill me, but every time I see him, he's wearing like a pajama tuxedo and like Michael Jackson gloves and like patent leather loafers and shit.
When you haven't had a song in 5 years, that's kind of, you start thinking dressing is your creative outlet. I think that's the problem.
I don't know if he has enough in his 401k to start dressing like that. He needs a couple more hits to solidify his financial future. But so I'm basically all that is to say, drunk in a Mercedes-Benz, switching lanes down Melrose is a way to make that album sound much, much, much better.
It's bad.
Will I go back and listen to it again? Maybe. It's not at the top of my priority list, though.
Yeah, yeah. I listened to it on the treadmill, and there, you know, there is a thing, though, that's cool that they don't list any features, so you just kind of have to, you can't skip to the song you want to hear. You know what I mean? You have to listen to the whole thing, which
I like that.
I think it's smart. Yeah, I think it's smart. But yeah, the
it's not a sneak diss, it's a sneak feech.
But yes, there's a Kendrick Lamar verse where he kind of goes at Drake and J. Cole after, you know, because they did a song called First Person Shooter Mode.
Mm-hmm.
They just big up him, kind of, and he's saying, no, no, it's just my little ass at the top, not you two guys. And he's mm-hmm. rather mean about it.
So he said the big three is the big me is what he said.
That's
says.
Right. And I just want to say that
okay.
Yeah, it's just it is a cool verse to listen to, but Kendrick Lamar just isn't cool, man. And neither is J. Cole. And Drake isn't either, but when you're the biggest, you don't have to be cool. And that's the issue.
When you're the biggest, you don't have to be cool. I could just see it being photoshopped right now, Craig.
No, but it's true. But it's true. It's like when you are that big, it's like no one expects, you don't need to be cool anymore. You've kind of surpassed that. Like, who is cool that's that, you know? Like, think about it. Impossible.
1975?
They're not as rich as Drake. It's about money. I mean, maybe they got money. Well, they don't got Drake money.
We're not comparing bank accounts, but we're talking about musical acts that sell out stadiums or arenas.
Well, also the streaming and all that
people
shit.
Who are considered at the top.
Yeah.
At the top, I suppose.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, look.
I mean, Drake is not at the top of streaming and hip-hop. You know what I mean? Like, he's a big rapper and he sells a lot of tickets, but so is Kanye West.
No, he's the biggest streaming rapper for sure.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Unless maybe there's some weird NBA YoungBoy shit, but that's only on YouTube.
Because he's an industry plant.
Yeah, definitely an industry plant.
He's an indiscreet plant. Yeah, Drake, Kanye, and Eminem are the top three on Spotify.
Not your boy M.
But if you do count YouTube, it is NBA YoungBoy for sure.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I don't count YouTube because that's for teenagers. But I think that this is it's been fun to watch people debate this and get all excited about it, because it's now they think it's all about a stripper. They think that they've all had sex with the same stripper, mm-hmm. and this is why they're taking shots at each other, which sounds really plausible to me.
Are you talking about Princess Diana?
Yeah, it's very plausible to me.
Princess Diana has been known to sort of fuck the whole team and get to talking.
Apparently.
I don't want to be whole brothers with my sworn enemy. I'll tell you that. That would just boil my blood.
So that's why you would have to record your scathing verse. Your scathing podcast verse. if you found out you were whole brothers with Ira Glass, you would have to record you would have to record a scathing diss pod.
Me being whole brothers with Ira Glass, look, I only fucked a guy one time, and it really comes back to bite me.
Look, Michael Barbaro is gay now. I swear to God, we did not do that.
God, I mean,
it's crazy you said that.
Of course, there's all the shit that I got into with Adam 22. We had a lot of crossover, we'll say. fellow podcaster.
Look, Adam 22 paid me to have sex with his wife. I don't know what you want me to do. That was just a content play for us.
We gotta get Adam 22 on How Long Gone. Would you do it?
Yeah, I guess. I don't really like all
funny.
All that, like, Adam 22, Aiden Ross, all that like stuff, I just don't. They're constantly talking about and with people who have a lot more money than us that I've never heard of or never seen, and it looks like they're in like a suburban childhood bedroom.
Yeah. yeah.
Everything, all the time.
Everyone is streaming from their parents' bonus room.
But they made $100 million last year on Twitch and YouTube. So it's like all dimly lit with like a headset on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't, it's really just ugly, but they be doing numbers.
Yeah, I'm lucky that we are of a generation where we don't have to think about that stuff or participate in it. It does pop up on, you know, friend of the show Sexy Red. She was on Aiden Ross's show, and I've been seeing the marketing rollout around it a little too much on my TL. It's been fucking it up. I'm so glad they finally finished that live stream so I could rid myself of that shit.
Well, I think that I think that's the thing. All these, they have so many eyeballs that everyone, you know, someone like Sexy Red or 21 Savage will appear on the stream and do some sort of stunt because it's better than going on the Breakfast Club.
Yeah,
because
the people that listen to the Breakfast Club are like 37-year-old plumbers. So the reason why all of that YouTube streamer shit, Kai and whatever, Aiden, their rooms look like that because their target demographic of 11-year-olds considers that to be the most pimp ass dwelling one could live in. You know,
it's pimp ass. They got the man. Yeah, this guy's living great. Yeah, when they it's the kind of rooms that look like they hang like a shitty comforter over the windows instead of having blinds. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of
it's very like Tom Hanks is Big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
COVID patient zero. Tom Hanks is Big, where it's like I'm a grown up. I'm all grown up. I'm 31 years old, but wouldn't me be sick if I had waste call bed? And you know that, and that's kind of, and luckily I have $149 million in my Chase checking, so I could just buy that.
I can just do that. I got it custom. Yeah, I don't really understand, because Adam 22, does he still have the store? Didn't he have a store, like a retail store?
I think he had a retail store, and that might just be like their podcast studio or something. But it was, because I think it was like BMX shit or something originally.
Yeah, it was. That's why I think he had like a clothing line. Like, I think he had like a BMX clothing line.
He used to come to the club back in the day when I was a DJ. I don't know why.
Did you guys have some Patron?
We never polyed once. That's politic, not polycule.
Okay, so you never.
We're yet to poly. I have not exchanged math with him. I have not done any of this stuff.
Okay.
Mostly, I look at him weird, and he looks at me weird.
That's okay. That's.
But you and most. I'm sure he's a lovable, nice guy underneath it all.
I actually doubt that, but I like that you have such a positive attitude. It's guys like that.
No, I can tell. I'm a white boy whisperer. I know what's going on under the hood.
His vibe. He's been getting away with it too long. Like he's had a big fan base that lets him say whatever he wants for too long, where I feel like he's just so disconnected from reality. Like, we couldn't even talk to him.
Okay. Well, do you know who you're describing?
What do you mean?
Howard Stern.
Mm.
What is he doing that's not Howard Stern?
Well, Howard Stern talks to like Jennifer Aniston, so that kind of gets some people
well,
in the gate.
Nowadays, in his 47th year of his career, but in his heyday when he was cutting his teeth, he was having like paraplegic people have anal sex.
No, that's true.
That's compared to whatever Adam 22 is doing.
But yeah, but I don't think that Howard Stern could have a conversation. He could now. But I don't think in his heyday he would have been a great person to have a conversation with either.
That's true. But you know, because people, you hear it all the time about, you know, like the Howard Stern lifers. They're like, yeah, you know, I just listen to Howard every morning. It's just what I do. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I like it anymore. I don't really know if I agree with him as much anymore. Maybe he turned soft. He turned woke. He's a pussy now. But I'm a racist construction worker, pipe fitter in New Jersey, and I still listen. It's just what I do. But a lot of people always talk about yearning for the old Howard, and he's not what he used to be anymore now that he's woke. And Adam 22 is like, you want old Howard? Here's old Howard. I'm going to throw bologna at a stripper's ass.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah. From cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So, spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. If you open up the lid, a little ASMR, it says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement, so it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah, so if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach, and it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness, and it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled NutraFol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. I compromise every day, Jason, as you know, because that's kind of part of being a good friend and partner.
Oh, wow.
I am forced to keep food in my refrigerator against my will because my wife demands it. But when it comes to your health, Jason, there's absolutely no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know you have sketchy insurance, Jason. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and most importantly, prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All these doctors are real, with verified reviews from actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists near you, or if you want to book one far away from you, that's your decision. Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
No, I mean, look, I see what you're doing, and you're not wrong. And I always forget, because Howard Stern has gotten so, because I read that book, I just really know a lot about his kind of transition into being quote unquote woke, which is basically just like
transition. He died?
Nah, he just went to therapy, basically, is all he did, and realized that he said fucked up things to people, and he could still do good interviews without saying fucked up things to people.
Yeah.
That's the main takeaway. Whereas I don't think Adam 22 could do that without saying fucked up things.
Well, you know, he doesn't have the same level of success as Howard. Nobody does. But
that's true.
I don't think he has a need to transition out of that for now. But I see it happening. I mean, everyone, once you turn, you know, 40 years old, you kind of have to stop doing some crazy shit, you know?
You would think.
I mean, I still wild out, actually. Yo, no cap, I'm still wilding out.
Yo, Adam could never wild out like them jeans. I'm
still goofing around on the mic. It keeps me young.
Did we talk about the Dr. Dre fucking Hollywood Walk of Fame?
No. The one where, dude, one of the images was totally AI.
Yeah, honestly, I hate your little AI jokes, but it really did look crazy. Pre-AI, we would just
whenever
say Photoshop.
Whenever I say this looks like AI, honey, it is not a joke. It's serious as a heart attack, okay? Let that be clear.
But I want to talk about Eminem's beard, and I don't mean his wife. I mean his, like, his, because he's gone. It looked like Eminem is too rich to have a Just for Men black beard. Like, it's crazy, dude.
He can't be out here looking worse. He makes Paul Wall look normal now.
That's what I'm saying. And Eminem, you know what I mean? Eminem, I have a different respect for Eminem because he is sober. He had to kick pills just like me. I respect that, mm-hmm. even though he's the least cool rapper of all time. But man, they all looked crazy, but Snoop Dogg gave a speech. You know, Snoop Dogg gave a speech at the unveiling of the star, and he just, it was a rap. He just rapped, and it had jokes in it, but it had like historical references to their relationship, and it was very impressive. I have to say, I didn't know Snoop. I mean, I knew Snoop Damn. Had him like that, but I thought he'd smoked himself stupid. You know what I mean? It was very nice.
Do you think that he got some help in the writer's room, or this was all off the dome?
No, I think he wrote it down, but I think it felt very personal in a way where you don't have your engineer help you out with it, you know?
Okay. So to me, it feels like this is giving, you go to someone's wedding and like the older brother-in-law like surprisingly nails the best man speech, number three, and you're like, bro, exactly. Where did this come from? That was actually quite astute. I'm impressed. Wow.
Damn. I didn't know...
but it was funny.
I didn't know you did that. I thought you just did private equity. I didn't know. Okay, well, that's
sick,
great.
Sick with the pen. Yeah, and the one through line between your older brother's friend giving the speech at the wedding, or your uncle giving the speech at the wedding, and Snoop Dogg giving the speech at the wedding, they both use the word nephew a lot for very different reasons. There's a roundabout way to get to that joke. True. I'll clean it up for when I hit Helium next weekend. Tickets still available.
What's Helium?
It's a comedy club.
Oh, okay. I had a feeling, but I
actually,
didn't know.
Speaking of jokes, did we talk about Airbnb announcing that they're banning indoor cameras on the pod? Or was I only talking to Bay about that?
No, that's a problem for you, I know, because you're kind of a PCAM guy. Are you getting rid of all your Airbnb properties?
Did you say P? I'm a bit of a PCAM player. Let's just say that. What's a callback to Waxahachie?
PCAM players.
Waxahachie, she into water sports a little bit. Yeah. So I said that I saw that headline, and I reverse engineered a joke saying, it took perverts to kill Airbnb. You know, perverts get a lot of flack out here, but they're the ones who finally killed, or maybe, you know, the nail in the coffin for Airbnb, because we've all complained about, you know, the cleaning fees and all the extra bullshit that they make you do. But Airbnb was still kind of kicking, but it really was the fear of being filmed by a pervert that kind of killed, or is killing as we speak, Airbnb. What say you?
I mean, I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. I'll never stay in Airbnb again. No interest. I hate the experience. Why would you ever do that when you can stay in a hotel?
Why would you do that when you could stay in a Vrbo? Use the promo code HowLongGone at checkout.
Exactly. I just don't. I just. It's crazy. It's crazy how big some of this stuff got from that era of like the original startups. You know what I mean? Like the original, like we raised $100 million. You know. And it just, nothing lasts forever. And Airbnb at one point was the dream, you know? It was like the number one thing. Like, no, people stopped looking at it. I did. I stopped looking at hotels. Like, I just, you know what I mean? I just was like, oh, this is what I use now.
Just like how Uber, one day, grand opening, grand closing for the entire taxi cab industry.
No.
And that happened to hotels for a while with Airbnb. But I think the lesson that we're learning with that is, you know, sometimes the disruption of a monopoly is a good thing, and then sometimes we realize the monopoly, maybe hotels were good
if the Four Seasons is the monopoly, then I'm fucking buying everything on the board. I'm all set on Airbnb.
I'm trying to think if there are any other examples of disruptions of monopolied industries that came and blew up and destroyed it and then receded back.
We work
for the original monopoly to sort of,
I mean, I guess the original monopoly hasn't taken back over, but it's the same kind of thing where people are like, this is it, this is the future, we can just pay, and then now it's just completely over.
Yeah.
Like, and there's obviously like these straggler kind of co-working spaces, and they're like more boutique, which I think is like the only way for it to work, because it is a good affordable option.
Yeah,
you know, if you want to get out of your house.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so is a Fleshlight, but after a while, you know, the real thing be sounding better.
Yeah,
for that one weekend though, it does seem like I don't need to go back, right?
It's a little cheaper.
I actually walked past a WeWork in the Pacific Design Center earlier in the week. I appeared live at friend of the show Pia's podcast. Sorry, Pia's podcast, Everything is the Best. And it was the first time I've ever done a podcast which was filmed in a podcast studio.
Oh, you were on camera, not just video, not just.
We were on camera, the two chairs facing each other, you know, the table with the plant and some probiotic sodas on display.
Of course.
And, you know, by the boudoir, the hot lights from the Canon 5Ds. You podcast much differently when you're being videotaped, I will say.
Yeah.
I think that it keeps you very engaged and focused on what's going on. I did not find myself, you know, drifting in thought or thinking about something else. Like you have.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, cause when we do this podcast, you're looking at the internet, I'm looking at my phone. I don't even know what's going on, but when you're in front of the camera, you can't really hide. You can't do that. You can't, there's nowhere to hide. Mm, so,
but it was a good podcast episode. Tune in.
You know, I don't watch podcasts.
I don't watch podcasts either.
I want to talk about the Dear Media office though, because it feels like were there snacks? What kind of cold brew? Kombucha? Was there? I just feel like it should be nice since it's a female only.
Yeah. It was. There were some males up in the building. I guess I was surprised.
Yeah, there's some executives, but I'm. I mean, talent.
No, someone's got to edit this shit, right? No. Not the executive.
Yeah, no. There. Yeah.
Yeah, someone's got to create these assets in multiple sizes. Mm-hmm. It was very professionally run. I was surprised by how many employees were in there total. I was like, damn, bro, this is, I mean, I probably saw 25, 30 people in there clacking away. You know, various people enjoying Instagram on desktop.
Mm.
Yeah, you know it's going down when the girlies are on Instagram desktop. It's actually easier this way. It's part of my job. Yeah, everyone treated me well. You know, do you want a coffee? Parking validation. Everyone there was really sweet and really nice. It seemed like they're having fun at their job. It's cool to see like a podcast studio or network that is making money in 2024. You know, just because all you hear about is layoffs and mm-hmm. acquisitions and, you know, doom and gloom from the podcast industry. And over there, maybe it's the microdosing, but everyone is just like, yeah, what's up? We make a lot of money doing podcasts about shit every single day. It's really fun. I love my job.
What do you think? What do you think their number one?
What's the name? I get to have Great White for lunch every day.
Oh my God. Every day. What is their number one show? If you had to guess, is it something we don't even know?
Let me check. I don't know. It's probably, you know, a show called Unhinged or something.
That's what I mean. I feel like it's something that's so big, but it's just not on our radar because it's not for us.
Bro, they have 100 podcasts. Shite.
Oh shit. Yeah, you're right. This is kind of crazy. I'm looking at it now.
And 11 of them are Whitney Ports.
Oh, shout out to our girl Whitney. Yeah, I mean, this is actually insane to look at this website because it's just like chicks cut out of a photo and put on a background with words. Like every single piece of art is the same, but totally different, if that makes sense. It has a style to it.
They got a couple fellas on here. I mean, Pia's might be one of the most popular on here. I don't know.
Oh, hold on. Lipstick on the Rim with Molly Sims. No Diddy. That's good.
Lipstick on the Rim. No Diddy.
Ooh. Yeah, so there's been a...
What color do you think Diddy picks out at Sephora?
Oh, you know he likes a Chanel pink, bro. Come on, he's traditional but freaky. Yeah, there's a new trend.
Diddy is definitely a Chanel girl.
There's a new trend taking off online that I learned about from Baller Alert on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That there's some people instead of saying pause, they're saying no Diddy.
I think it's more specifically no homo. They're replacing the word homo with Sean Puffy Combs.
The example I saw was, I like to put my guys in position. No
Diddy. That is a, you know, I'm not saying that's the best example you could come up with, but I challenge you to find a better one.
It's so fucking funny. I was dying. And I kept saying it all day yesterday, and it wasn't going over well in my household. And then this morning,
mm-hmm.
I got a text from Amardi being like, bro, I thought of you as soon as I saw this. And I was like, yeah, I thought about it too because I was saying it all day yesterday.
Okay, well, I just thought of another, I thought of a variation or maybe a side effect of this phenomenon that you speak of. Just imagine how quietly satisfied Meek Mill is right now that nobody has realized to say no Meek or no Mill. It's sitting right there. It's so close.
No Mill.
No Mill is there because, you know, when all of the Diddy stuff came out and it was like, yeah, Diddy's straight up murdering people and blood sacrifices to appease the Illuminati and raping hundreds of people. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Meek Mill gay? And Meek Mill's like, bro, bro.
Yo, hold on. We got to go to Philly.
I was just fucking for an advance. I do not need to kill animals and stuff on camera. So I think, you know, do not start saying no Mill. Okay?
That's really funny. That's really, really, really funny. That's really, really funny. I won't push it that far. I won't push it that far.
We did not talk about Beyonce cowboy stuff. I was looking when the cover came out. It was more kind of Paul Revere than cowboy for me. It was a little more Union, a little more
town crier.
Yeah,
Rosie the Riveter.
Well, no, I mean it really feels like somebody riding a horse through New England in the 1800s, right? And less of a rodeo outside of Houston. It's and less of a Bucky's parking lot, I should say.
The music, unfortunately, I think I might like it because I like country music and Beyonce can sing and I'm sure she got the best of the best to write this for her. But
yeah, but it's not going to be country. It'll be country tinged R&B pop.
Yeah, it'll be country tinged.
Uplifting.
But I don't understand why people are so like I just don't. This is what pop stars do. They change their whole thing every album. I don't know why this is such a big deal. This is what people do. Since David Bowie, this is what people have done.
To me, diva down. To me, this that is all true. Pop stars, especially female pop stars, sort of have to reinvent themselves every album cycle. But the cowboy trope has been fucked out for the last 3 or 4 years now.
True.
With, you know, it's kind of done, and we, the LGBT community, looks to Beyonce for inspiration for new things. You blow that horn, and Beyonce has announced to the world, this is the new cowboy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she has not done that. Or maybe, I'm not putting the blame on her. It's obviously her team at this point, right?
It's obviously Hove, yeah. I just don't think it's...
Hope is like, have y'all heard about this Kacey Musgraves chick? She's like Spacey Banana Cup. Bro, she said Gravity Ball.
What if Hove made Spacey Kacey his new Rihanna? You know what I mean? That's a good plan. Because I don't think it's going to happen for her otherwise. I mean,
in a perfect world, Kacey Musgraves would be Jay-Z's new sum to poke on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like this. He said, oh, Beyonce, this is cute for you, but I got some real shit over here. I think that the... It's but people are also acting like it's like revolutionary for her to do this, and I'm just like she's making a slightly different kind of music and dressing differently. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's the same music except the preset on the synthesizer is just changed to a different sound. You know, it's not taking from this world, it's taking from this world.
The real question is,
it's an acoustic plug.
Will this Beyonce have a dobro on it? I'm going to say no.
Have a dobro? Oh, the instrument.
Yeah.
No. It'll have a dough boy on it, but not a dobro.
It's going to have a Dolly Parton feature, and I bet there'll be one cool young, you know, maybe she'll finally link up with Morgan Wallen, get the duet going.
Yeah. For me, I'm always a Destiny's Child sympathizer. That was Beyonce's best work, and not so much a fan anymore. But I really feel like, you know, who is setting these trends in pop music now? Is it Charlie? Is it Gaga?
It's Charlie. If you look at Camila Cabello, where it's like a fucking one-to-one copy.
It's a facsimile.
I listened to the Camila Cabello clip, the snippet that you guys sent me in the group chat that you're saying was like insane, and I have to say I kind of liked it, and it makes me feel weird to say that, but I was like, this is so insane that I think I like it.
Say more, brother Block, say more.
But it just, I mean, yeah, it just sounds like hyper pop, you know?
What about it struck you?
I just think
in the vulva,
I just think it's so twisted for her to like try to be a freak when you know she's not. You know what I mean? That it's like, maybe this could work if she
right.
if she goes whole hog and just fucking really leans in and is like, this is, I'm a new person. It might work. She's had hits. She's had big songs.
She said, tonight we let the Wellbutrin speak.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, she looks like, I mean, the blonde, like the whole vibe is 5150 for sure. But I think that it's, I don't know what else you do if you're someone like her from like a fifth tier girl group and you haven't had a hit in 5 years and no one's really checking for you. You're not dating Shawn Mendes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can you do?
Life comes at you fast, girly.
Like, what can you do except look at the Charlie Blueprint and call A.G. Cook and say, give me some tracks.
Yeah, but I guess it's good. It is sort of shepherding in a new type of pop music to return, which is sort of like girls screaming and jumping around kind of stuff, which I feel like is a good swing of the pendulum from sad, depressing shit that we've been popping to for the last number of years.
Oh, totally. Yeah. No, that's actually a good point. I agree with you. I think it is. It's more fun.
You know, Make America Rage Again could be a hat that Juicy J sells on Etsy or something. But we remember when this nation used to rage, quote unquote.
Honestly, I do, and I know you do too.
Yeah, Willie Staley voice raging tonight. Don't see that too much nowadays. Not so much. Not so much raging.
Don't see that super often anymore. That's funny. That's really funny.
What's the last rager you went to, Chris?
Well, unfortunately, Jason.
Exactly.
Rager was a Kid Cudi term. So I think that maybe is,
well, he didn't invent it. He stole it.
Yeah, but he really made it. He really made it his thing.
Do you know how long people have been ragering in San Diego County?
But I think his fans are called Lil Ragers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're sort of making my point. Remember when Kid Cudi used to rage?
What do you mean?
And now he sings about mental health.
Yeah.
He would make music that one could rage to, and then he would go play a show and rage. And now he's like,
yeah. Day right. and night's a real rager.
You know, some guy comes out on an acoustic guitar and a fucking
no
on a stool and an acoustic guitar, and you know the hip hop guy who does the ukulele.
No, he looks like Kid Cudi looks like when everybody says mental health, I see Kid Cudi. That's what he looks like. Mental health, like he looks like
he's the human visual personification of the term mental health. Yeah. In general.
Yeah, like I dye my hair different colors all the time. I wear weird clothes all the time. It's a to me, it's a cry for help.
You know what he is? He's a Chris Brown before and after photo.
Damn, that's actually
Chris Brown is the before, and then after is Kid Cudi.
If I get you tickets for the Breezy tour, will you pull up?
I mean, if there's better seats than what I already have.
What if I get you...
My golden voice guy called in a couple of favors. Over where is he playing? Yamava?
I don't know where he's playing, but I do know that it's pretty big, and I think that there is a meet and greet, which he's famous for, because he'll kind of get a little nasty with the fans. You know, he'll hug up on you.
Right, he'll toot his little thing out on you.
Exactly.
He'll pull his dick out. Ah, I'm just kidding. Pull my dick down a little bit, but not that much. Ah.
Because the meet and greet's $1,000.
Bro, August August 6th, he's playing in Los Angeles. And August 7th, he's playing in Los Angeles two nights in a row at Crypto Arena.
Yeah, he's huge. I know. He's unaccepted by the
main. Two nights at Crypto.
The mainstream will never accept him, but he's got his fans like you, Jason. You guys are a strong community.
I mean, who quietly doing two nights at Crypto is very impressive for a hip-hop /R&B artist.
Well, damn. Let's see what this
in Atlanta. He's playing the State Farm Arena in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, that's like
two
where,
nights.
That's where Drake played. Well, to be fair, Los Angeles and Atlanta are probably the two biggest places he can play.
Two nights at Barclays.
Okay. Brooklyn, stand up.
Is he opening for somebody else?
No, dude. This is how big he is. That's the thing. It's just...
I am so proud of my Toxic King.
He doesn't get any radio play. He gets no awards. No one talks about him. But he puts out these like records with 28 songs on them that people love. I mean, he sells records. I mean, he streams.
Chris Brown is the Radiohead of abusive R&B and hip hop. They both have funky dance styles. They're both beasting in the underground. They have rabid fan bases playing big venues. No radio play.
I would say that Radiohead is pretty accepted, though, by the mainstream. Like, people think consider it to be like.
Do you know
great.
How many people have jokes for how got jokes for Radiohead fans?
Well, I mean,
easy out here. It's almost more embarrassing being a Radiohead fan than a Chris Brown fan nowadays.
Radiohead is easy to make fun of because they do have a couple of classic. Maybe I'll put that on today. Maybe I'll put on the Bends today. I love that shit.
The Bends.
I love it. Oh, so good.
The Bends, a good American rock and roll album.
Well, you know, when bands use guitars, sometimes that works, and they get into their little synthesizer phase, and people like you start liking it, and then I got to move on.
Yeah, I famously hated the Bends at first. Turn this racket off.
Aren't you a Kid A apologist, though?
Yeah, I'm a Kid A apologist because that came out at a very important time in my life when I was transitioning from like straight edge high school bro into me like drugs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was also
it was kind of the soundtrack,
and it was also it shepherded in my electronic music phase, and I think it did the same for a lot of other people where you're like,
yeah, definitely.
I only listen to rock and roll music with guitars, bands, and maybe some hip hop, but I'm not listening to a lot of experimental electronic music, and they made it okay.
We got to hit the Pulp show, bro. That's the other thing I was thinking about.
The amount of cutters at that show, the amount of e-girl cutters at that show is going to be exquisite.
That's too good. Keep Yayo out of there. Okay.
I know, right?
How Long Gone. We appreciate you listening to our podcast. We will be back next week with more podcasts.
Even more podcasts. 3 a week, dumbass.
I think that's it. We got this tour. We're going to announce it soon. Everything's getting confirmed. It'll be a little bit. We're working on...
Yeah.
We're working on a piece of footwear that we're very excited about.
Footwear collab.
There's lots of stuff going on here in the How Long Gone universe that will reveal itself soon. Thank you for listening. Jason, thank you for podcasting with me. Thank you for putting up with me. And if you don't already subscribe to Them Jeans on Substack, please go do that. And make sure you do the paid tier. Don't be cheap like him. Make sure you pay.
And no need to wait until I actually start posting things to see if it'll be worth your money. You kind of know it will be, right?
It'll be.
And
it'll
also,
be.
this helps, you know, I'm getting the money directly, but what I'm going to do with this money for Chris's life and his future, you can't even imagine.
Jason's going to pick up a check once a month. It's going to be crazy for me. Also, I mean, you know, while we're talking about it, subscribe to Pulling Weeds on GQ.com. Obviously, I get paid for that, but it's a different
model.
That's
all the time we have now. I'm going to order some sourdough starter on Ballerina Farm. It's called Willa. They named it Willa. And my checkout card is about to expire. So
okay,
I
hurry. Do your
wrap
thing.
This up.
I love naming a sourdough starter, giving sourdough starter a hot chick name. That's really something else. All right, How Long Gone. Thank you for listening. HowLongGone.com is the website. At Them Jeans on Instagram. Thank you.
Pullingweeds.gq.substack.com.